Well, March is finally over. That means all the NCAA tournament action finally concluded, men's and women's titles. And we'll be chatting about that. Also, we'll be chatting about Major League Baseball. We'll be chatting about golf. And, of course, we'll be chatting about appetizers and beer and really good drinks. All on tonight on the Sports Land Oregon. Because this is what my city needs. I was born and I reside in ADP. I'm from the 503. I represent Portland. We burn good, take paper and rock toys. I do this for my city because my city needs me to do it. Music is my life and my life is my music. I'm from the 503. I represent Portland. We burn good, take paper. All right, so hey, it's episode 13, Sportsland Oregon. We're down here at Poor Sports in southeast Portland, right off the Morrison Bridge. I'm Cliff Benning, along with Derek Weber. He's got his phone out right now. He's checking some stock market deals he made earlier.
It all went down.
But that was an after-hours trading. I always love that. They got after-hours trading. So yeah. How do you...
I don't know.
What the hell is that? Maybe, you know, maybe that'll be a thing if Donald Trump becomes president. He'll wipe out after-hours trading and say it's always got to be between 8 and 5. Or
he lost tonight. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Bad stuff for Donald, for the big Don.
Bernie won, so I think we can all just say right now it's going to be Cruz and Sanders, right?
Oh, man, I'm excited about that one. Brother, be like, you know, not that I don't like Bernie Sanders, but, you know, if he was president, obviously it would be better than any of the Republican candidates, but still it would be like, okay, we're trying to do this revolution thing, and then 4 years later, still, it's really going to happen someday, really soon. I can believe, you know, college is going to be, and the way we're going to make college free for everybody is they're all going to have to be scholarship athletes. So, you know, you kids are going to have to do something in high school that makes this turn you into a scholarship athlete. All right, so talking about scholarship athletes, let's see, the men's final NCAA tournament was damn exciting yesterday. Can't say I watched a lot of it because I really didn't care about either team.
I tuned in the last 4 minutes. I thought I timed that pretty well.
Pretty darn well. I saw the score I was watching CNN, I think it was, and I was keeping up with the score a little bit. Now that's a good finish right there. So they showed it, and the big deal was that the brothers were on. They had brothers on each one on each team. So yeah, exciting. Villanova winning over UNC back there on the East Coast.
They called it.
They kind of left us out.
Actually, I think I had both of them losing in Sweet 16. So.
My son Reese, he picked Villanova on his second bracket. He of course picked Oregon on the first one. And picked Villanova to win in the second one, which, you know, it's not much of a stretch there. They have been number one seeds in the few years. But this year, being a number two seed, that takes the pressure off them. Of course, being a number two seed takes all the pressure in the world off you from, you know, winning in the first and second round.
Right.
Anyway, congrats to those guys. Let's see. And, of course, our Ducks made it to the Elite Eight. Awesome. I saw a little thing today on ESPN with the way too early preseason rankings. They have the Ducks at number 10.
Oh, okay. I saw it's another list. They were number 4.
See, I think they should be up there, you know, higher than 10. And once the season gets a little bit closer, and of course you got to, you know, it's a long ways away to figure out who's still going to be coming back and who's gotten hurt and, you know, who's signed up to play in Europe or somewhere. China, maybe somebody goes to China, they throw $250K at him and say, dude, we saw you on TV last year. We really like your style. Why don't you come and play for you know, basketball, AC Moscow. We'll even have an interpreter for you. You can pick out whoever you want her to be. So, like, really? I don't have to go to school? No. You can do virtual academy from China, from Moscow. Anyway, so, and I believe that someday that's going to become a reality, too. It'll be, once they go to, that's one and done. How long do you think one and done is going to last?
There's a big push for it right now. So either A, in the next year or two, or it's going to drag on for another decade. I don't think there's much middle ground. I mean, you know, maybe 8 years or something like that. I don't think there's much in between.
I don't know how many players, now that they, I mean, there was, you know, a long time when guys came out of high school and went right into the NBA. And do you think they got enough experience with that to say, guys, you have... I mean, they obviously got enough experience with it to say you got to go to college for 1 year. But I've heard the idea that either you can go straight in or you have to play 2 years.
It's like the baseball.
Yeah.
The baseball setup.
And yeah. So I think they really got to look at the 18-year-olds and say, guys, there's like one guy a decade who can do that. Yeah, and everybody else...
I want to know kind of what you were saying in the beginning is why aren't European teams coming over here and recruiting high school?
Recruiting, and so that's, I think more and more, especially if they go to that 2 year, if they go to 2 years, I think that will start to come up and the Americanization of Europe will start to happen. And maybe that's better for basketball anyway, overall worldwide. Yeah, you know, I didn't see what the TV numbers were.
Last night?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to say two things. They were the worst they've ever been.
Yeah.
It was a 10.4. But that's because it was on TBS and not CBS.
That part, I think, was...
And that was actually, they included True TV, TBS, and whatever the other one was.
Yeah.
Because they did the national call on TBS, and then they did the Homer calls. They had one on True TV. I think it was Villanova's announcers for Villanova, and then... North Carolina's on whatever other network.
That's kind of neat. Yeah, I didn't sort of realize.
Today, all day on every sports radio channel I listened to, they were like, and here's the call from this.
From them.
Here's the call from
their side.
Yeah. I think the best one was actually the radio for Villanova.
Yeah.
They were by far the most excited. North Carolina was much more subdued. It was basically like, for the win, and he made it. And that was, like, they didn't say anything else
after. You know, talking about Homer calls, that's probably the worst part of the OSU game against UConn in the women's semifinals, is it could not have been more of a Homer broadcast for UConn, even though it was ESPN. And basically like they wanted UConn to win. They needed UConn to win. And also there was another team playing, and they were wearing some kind of orange out there. Who was that again?
Honestly, that's probably what the announcers
thought. That's exactly what they wanted. Yeah.
Well, not the... They know UConn. They don't know Oregon State.
Wonderful that they couldn't do a little bit of a... You know, I think they read the little highlights that some producer had put up there. Like, oh, yeah. But then, wait a second. UConn, we love them. They're like the greatest thing.
Frankly,
they were kicking
their ass in town.
You know, in the first half when I was watching, I watched most of the first half. Actually, I watched all the first half, and then after that...
They got down big to begin with, and then they made like a 9-0 run.
They got back to within 7 points, I believe it was.
Yeah, and then they got drilled by 30 or 29.
But for a while there, they made a pretty good, pretty decent game up.
Okay,
maybe one of the better games that has ever been played against UConn this year. Which, yeah,
I might agree with you on that.
And so that's when I was most upset, was that they were making a really good run and, you know, putting up quite a bit of a fight there, and they did. So, but yeah, you know, the best team won there, and they won tonight by 50 or something like that.
It's another 29 points.
Yeah.
So want to hear some great gambling stats on that game tonight?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I read it was like 12,000 to 1 or 1,200 to 1 or something. What was the stat?
Straight up. If you bet straight up for UConn to win, no points.
Yeah.
And you laid down $35,000.
Yeah.
You'd walk away with $35,500. But on the flip side, if you put $35,000 down for Syracuse,
yeah,
you'd walk away with $750,000.
What does that make it? 35,000 to 1 or something? Yeah. There's
70 to 1.
It comes up a lot. Is UConn good for women's basketball? The wins they, how they win, and you know that they're winning so frequently. I mean, how they win, and they can't be beat, and that's pretty much is like you watch them play a couple times and you go, how are they ever going to lose?
So I think, yes, they're good for college basketball because we're talking about it right now. Didn't we talk about last year's, even though it was UConn? No.
Not the final. We talked a little bit about OSU.
We talked about
OSU.
We talked all
but
about
But that's out. Yeah, that's it.
And now it's the collective dominance that we're talking about. Now, honestly, I still believe, though, if OSU didn't make it, or say they lost in the first or second round or whatever, we probably wouldn't be talking about
it. Not at all, yeah.
But yeah, they're good. They're good for women's basketball simply because, from a national perspective, you're paying attention to it. There's storylines that people can relate to that don't watch those.
Yeah, sports. But currently there's only one storyline. I guess that would be. So if they're good for women's basketball, it's that people are paying attention. Now there has to be one or, you know, two or three or four storylines besides just that they're so great and are they ever going to lose again. I don't know. You know, it got me thinking about UCLA in the 60s and early 70s because they won, like, I want to say nine out of ten, including six straight. They were the team, and I mean, every year. But I don't know that that... I mean, basketball still was. I mean, it was being dominated during the tournament, but it wasn't being dominated by them, you know, all year long.
Right.
And it was always possible to beat them. They just didn't lose. They won at the right time. They weren't beating teams by 30 points. So, maybe it's good. I'm still a little peeved by ESPN. Thanks very much for making that game. I know I had a little bit of alcohol in me and no family members around, so me and my neighbors might have heard a little bit of a vocalization of "Doggone you, ESPN. Please be quiet." I don't know if I was using that kind of language rather, but anyway, great job, OSU. They have a pretty decent team coming back. Not exactly. This probably is the best year that they were supposed to get all the way to the Final Four, and they did, so... Let's see if they could keep that rolling along. All right, yep. So let's see. All right, our Blazers are playing right now.
Well, we have one more college basketball thing about it.
Oh, okay.
The University of Portland hired a new coach.
Oh, I did not see that.
Mr. Terry Porter.
Ah, that's why. Okay, there we go. I knew that. He, doggone, Terry Porter. And he's got NBA experience. I didn't see if he had any. Well, I guess you don't really need college experience.
He does not.
Especially if you're Terry Porter, you show up at somebody's house and say, "Hey, I'm Terry Porter. I'm interested in talking to your player." Good for attendance. I got to believe that. You know, that's a great hire, especially in the WCC, which needs great hires too.
Yeah.
Because that might. You know, that's 1,000 fans. Probably was 4,500 Gonzaga fans. And 500 UP fans, because they were always chanting Gonzaga, go Zags, go, things like that. So now that's really too bad. Well, granted, it is on holiday break, but so what? Gonzaga fans, they're on holiday too, and they got 4,500 fans down here. So
yep,
nice to see UP.
Last time I was there was in the NBA lockout when LaMarcus Aldridge
did his
exhibition game there. There may have been Gonzaga fans there, but I'm not sure.
Probably. Wow, yeah, well, I'll have to keep up a little bit on the rest of the WCC, if maybe some of them will hire. That, you know, the hiring of college coaches along the lines of Terry Porter, getting somebody with a marquee name, that's something I get to see, you know, happening a lot more, too.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't, I mean, around the country, I don't know how much Terry Porter's name weighs, right?
Yeah.
I think it's very localized. But, you know, even if the kid, you know, you're recruiting a 17, 18-year-old kid, they might not even know Terry Porter at this point. But what they will know and what he can talk to is, like, I coached two NBA teams. I played in the finals twice. You know, I know what it takes to get there. I played with, you know, Clyde Drexler and blah, blah, blah. So.
Here's my resume. Look at all that NBA experience there, right? Kid, come and play for me. Also, big smile. Everybody there loves me. You're gonna play in front of people now that I'm there. So he's there. We all love him. We're gonna, you know, now he just has to go and do great things. So, you know, the WCC, I would think, would be a conference you can do pretty good things right away because they haven't been killing the world.
Nah, but they're still, it's very top heavy going.
Yeah.
With Gonzaga and St. Mary's. I feel like I'm forgetting.
You're really forgetting everybody but Gonzaga. Gonzaga's, they're like, that's the team. Everybody else kind of floats up and down, but, I mean, Pepperdine is there, Loyola. they have, you know, past experience of being good, but Gonzaga's the team. They can do
They definitely are, but I mean, St. Mary's has been on a good run the last couple of years. They actually should have made the tournament instead of Gonzaga. They were the better team. But,
you know, except Gonzaga showed off that they made it to the Sweet 16.
The problem is the WCC, it's like you pretty much are only going to get one team in the tournament, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
until you get two and both of them win, right, or the team not Gonzaga wins. So, like, yeah, the Pac-12 getting seven teams in, I don't know if that's going to happen again for a
Santa
while.
Santa Clara, you know, Steve Nash.
Right. See you. Yeah, there you go. All righty. Got that going. Okay, so that's basketball. I didn't see the U of O and the WNIT. They made it quite a ways in that thing. So.
Did they?
Yeah, you know, they were broadcasting the radio game against, I want to say, Arizona State last week. No, I got to hear that, but I couldn't get the OSU game on radio.
Yeah.
Like, okay, locally. I could get the OSU baseball game. That's what it was. So I got OSU baseball, U of O, WNIT, women's basketball, no Oregon State women's basketball. Like, well, that, great. There you go. So, yeah, OSU, get on that, guys. We know baseball is the, you know, marquee sport there, but it's still, you know,
they've made
March.
Some Final Four slash championship.
But it's so. March. And I don't know if you listen to the games, it's not very exciting. And you got, you know, Mike Parker is the only person in the box. And, you know, if you just have one person.
Sometimes he's kind of funny.
By himself, though. Like, you know, Bill Walton is an outstanding, you know, person to make a game entertaining, even though, you know, some of the stuff he says. And I really don't, you know, like Bill Walton anymore, but that's the problem. But he makes the game entertaining. Fun to listen, fun to watch. So,
yep.
On the Pac-10, Pac-10 games, Pac-12 games. Excuse me.
It's been years.
I'm going to be making that mistake still well into the future. Blazers chewing up Memphis. Memphis is kind of slowly.
They won tonight, though.
So they were leading, and so maybe they're going to keep it. They're Blazers playing Sacramento. They're duking it out with them in Sacramento. But I think over the. Let's see, five games left?
There. Four for the Blazers.
Four games.
Three every night.
So we got, you know, by the end of next week, we'll know what the playoffs are. So Blake Griffin back for the Clippers. So they've got a week to figure out how to work him back into the lineup. They're kind of assuming that that's who the Blazers will be playing in the first round. I like Houston is now number nine. In the West.
Yeah, if you had your choice, right? That's what you want.
I think if I had my choice, that's the team that I would want to have miss because of James Harden, one thing, because he just, like, he travels, like, every single play, even though they have figured out, no, it's okay. Once you pick the ball up, then you have two more steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, or three if you want.
As long as you act like you were ran over by a truck, yeah.
Something like that, and you hop, and you hop, and you hop again, and go, no, I'm James Harden. James Harden, all those points, and then Dwight Howard, and they can't make the playoffs.
Yep.
There's a dismantling going to happen over there. So, yeah, I wonder where Dwight Howard will end up. Who's actually going to want to pay a bunch of money for
somebody
who can't make the playoffs?
Somebody will. With all the money that's going to be available this summer, somebody's paying them a max.
There you go. That's probably going to be a topic here coming up regularly. Who's going to want it? Well, who fits in with the Blazers, and then who's going to want to come here? You know, them making, if they get up to number five, and they got a young roster, and it's very, you know, it's a nice, happy team, seems like that, and they got, you know, prospects for the future, I gotta imagine there's going to be more than a few guys raising their eyebrows going, well, I think I could play in Portland. You know, it's way out there in the West. You know, nobody even knows where it is anymore, except for young people who want to move here and live in a condo. And not own a car and use Uber and Lyft to get around town and party their money away, no problem. Love you guys, I love you.
Can they bike, or that's off too?
Oh no, they can bike a little bit, but I think if it rains
really Uber,
just a little bit, yeah. And biking involves that work, so you got this Uber thing. It's not too expensive. and Lyft. Actually, I prefer Lyft. Those guys are a little much better to their drivers. So Cleveland still in the East. Golden State, they're going to win. Is it 80 games, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They just, yeah,
they're going to win more games than they played this year.
This probably, yeah, something like that. That'll be the ESPN version of it. Oh my God, the Warriors! We need them to win like 85. Can we just play three extra games during the regular season so that they can?
Now,
win 85?
The Blazers just played them.
And fairly, you know, fairly well.
Until the fourth, but Damian and Curry had quite a little show going on there in the third. That was fun to watch.
So we got 93-90 Portland.
Yep.
We're getting down midway through the fourth quarter, so.
High scoring game.
Back and forth.
The refs are letting them play. There's been a lot of bodies on the floor. No, no
kind of a late season all-star version game.
Blocks. Blizzard are putting some crappy shots.
back and forth, not really any much offense, which actually probably is fun for NBA.
Can we jump back to college basketball?
Back to college basketball.
Have you heard the new addition to the Ducks football team?
Oh, no. I keep up slowly.
Dwayne Benjamin.
Okay.
Wide receiver. 6'7", wide receiver.
I love that from Brenner, the women's player, that she moved from volleyball to basketball to track.
Yep.
Just, it's like, are you ever going to leave college? What's going on? And then I looked again, Emily, and she's still only been there. Like, this is like her fifth year or something like that. She hasn't been there, you know, she's not a grad student yet or something like that.
Yeah.
But Dwayne Benjamin.
He's
right
got
on.
1 year of eligibility to play a different sport.
There we go.
So he was recruited by some schools in the South when he was coming up.
I would imagine
like
a football
Louisiana school. Lafayette kind of
yeah.
stuff. But yeah.
Brother, he's a tight end. I mean,
they're going to play with wide receiver.
Wide receiver, split end or something like that. We want you able to make
that's
a block or two.
A jump ball kind of situation.
There you are.
Like the dude's got, we'll say at least 7-8 inches on any quarterback.
Mad hops. That's what he's got. Mad hops. And,
should probably have decent hands, I would think.
Decent hands. Got a long, you know, that wingspan. That'll be entertaining. And you know, a little surprising that doesn't happen more often, too. And maybe that's something that will happen more often.
Well, I mean, if you remember the Ducks, somewhat of a history with it. Jordan Kent.
Okay, yeah.
And then more recently, I'm forgetting, he was a point guard for the team.
I want to say, no, not the, so, DeAnthony Thomas was, he was track.
Right.
Track and football.
Point just
guard.
In the last couple years, anyway.
Not Joseph Young.
All like this. But,
yeah. Well, good on you, Ducks. Keep that up. So they got new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. They're going out scouring the West, looking for free agents. Got Marcus Prokop from MSU, that being Montana State.
Yep.
Now we got Dwayne Benjamin coming in. We got headlines all over the place into their $100 million football facilities. So. Yeah, and they're going to do the thing with the LED field, which
yes.
I like that one. Getting that white
was
red going,
fantastic.
That was pretty good.
I didn't see that. Look at April Fool's.
Well,
look up GoDucks.com.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, I love the connection to Light Bright, and also it's residential uses, the LED field. The first time I went through it, I'm like, what? And I read it and went, okay, we're on our way to Skynet,
Well, they even threw in the Simpsons reference.
I thought of that. Globe X.
Globe X, Hank Scorpio.
Very good stuff. And the commentary.
Oh, what? DeMarcus Cousins, technical foul. Didn't see that. I did not see that coming.
I love the commentary from the administrative assistant.
He's going to get another one. He's going to get kicked out of the
game. Uh-oh, not get ejected. Careful.
I don't know if they're replaying it because he's throwing a tantrum right now and he threw his towel. Did he get the technical before or after that? I would think that would result in another technical. Right?
See, on the Sacramento side, you got to be happy that they still have this much passion for the game when they're not going anywhere. And see, okay, here thing, we go. Think, here's the. So he's going off the field, court, and he bumps into. That's it.
That's.
Well, he does it again. Get out of my way, you little dude.
And who was it? Gerald Henderson, the one veteran on the blade. I'm just going to stand here and let people pick on me.
Oh, well, now he's going to the free throw on Cousins, so.
Oh, he beat it.
Right on. Okay, well. All right, so Blazers, they're already starting to sell playoff tickets. So
I guess yes, they are.
We're fairly confident that's going to happen. It would be on the, let's see, the visiting side, the three games out of seven at their place. All right, so we're trying to not get too lost here. All right, so that's... as I mentioned, Blake Griffin is back now for the Clippers. So, big time SWAT. Here we go. 94, 96, 94. Still 5 minutes left.
Yep.
All right. Timbers. Let's see. Our soccer team. They're still starting very slowly. Their roster is kind of moving. They got bringing guys in from all over. Lost 4-1. On Sunday
to Orlando
City. Kaka. Whistle. What's going on there? Oh, timeout. All right. So they're like I say, starting slowly, but they do have they got a win and a tie. So they're and last season they really didn't get going until the second half of the season. So you just gotta stay handy, stay close. At least their main goal scorer, Fernando Adi, he's producing. Oh wow, out of bounds, like more than a foot out of bounds. they stopped the game to go. Okay, there we go. All right, Timbers. Well, let's see. So baseball started.
Jonathan Lloyd, point guard for the basketball team, played for the Ducks for 1 year as a wide receiver.
Yeah, but I don't remember
his name. Four catches, 19 yards, a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't remember his name coming up too regularly, unless maybe he played against Portland State in the 69-0 game that I missed by a point.
Other receivers on the team at the time, Devin Allen, Keenan Lowe, Dwayne Stanford, Darren Carrington, Farrell Brown. There's a lot of people in front of him.
You know, DeForest...
Even Grassu got to catch that here.
DeForest Buckner, I see his name. He's like third or he's right up in the top five players to get drafted.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be entertaining to see where he ends up.
Hopefully he does better than the last defensive end pick from the top five for the Ducks. But, yeah.
No, defensive end, doggone it.
DeAndre Jordan,
yeah. Who his name has not come up very often in the NFL.
Only when he's suspended for performance anti. Twice so far in 3 years.
Well, he's getting his name in the papers.
Eric Armstead, though.
Yeah. Armstead, doggone it. I'm always going to remember him for snow. Throwing the snow on the professor that one snow. That was like 2 years ago, and we got all that snow, and he's having fun, and some professor gets, you know, in his face about throwing snow on his car. Like, way to go, dude.
I'm always going to remember him as when he was being recruited, he wanted to play basketball, too, and I always thought that would be hilarious.
You go from football to basketball?
No, I just wanted to see a 6'9", 300-pound dude there playing basketball.
Well, what about...
box him out. Done.
Magic Johnson minus, you know, about, you know, 50 pounds. So. 6'9", point guard. yeah. All right, so baseball started. Got to watch the Dodgers play last night, 15-0.
They're going
to
win every game by that, right?
Man, that was quite a quite. And so
they
everybody
just kept
performed.
Going.
They just kept going.
Did they hit one home run? I don't think they did.
They were showing the highlights of the Giants game. They went back to back to back, and I'm thinking,
like,
you know, you know what? You don't need it. Home runs are. They're wonderful plays, but they're kind of boring. It's you don't get it. You don't get that excitement of running the bases and sliding and all that stuff. So, way to go, Dodgers. They don't have the same hot pitching staff, but hopefully there are younger players. Even Yasiel, still a younger player, been in the league. He's going
starting out with a triple tonight.
Fourth year, right on. Jock Peterson had a good game. So, and that's our team, by the way, Derek and myself. Yeah, long, long, long season to go, but great to see the game back in action. My young son had a rough outing in his debut this season on Saturday.
Was he pitching?
He pitched.
He got roughed up a little bit.
Yeah, he did. He let's see. I guess
he was like whoever the Giants were playing.
The real key to it was that he actually got six outs in his inning, but that included a strikeout. One fielded grounder to shortstop that they got thrown to first base for an out, and then four errors. Like, doggone, his head sank pretty good. And like, you know, he's getting these guys to hit the ball right to the shortstop, right to the second baseman. Nobody can make a play, damn it. One of the kids got hurt for putting his hand up to catch a line drive and it hit him in the wrist instead of the glove.
Hey, he's trying.
He's trying there, yeah. At least he got, you know, just kept the ball from going into the outfield.
Ran the other direction from the ball, so.
Softball, yeah, that's one thing. So Lake Oswego High School is they're suing their district for not providing them the equal field that the baseball team has. Baseball team gets to play on turf. They're playing at their middle school. So today
they don't even have a high school field to play.
They don't even have a high school field to play on. So like, you know what? Hey, let's, you know, pay some attention to us too. So good for them.
And Lake Ridge is like, can't play on ours.
Some Lake Oswego, Lake Ridge, they build a women's soccer or women's softball facility and split it with both teams. I think they'd be happy with that. You go like that's the way you know, the Giants and Jets played for such a long time in New York. All right, so another the big thing this week, of course,
CJ with
CJ.
They had I think about a 4 or 5 point lead. And they must have ran about a minute off the clock because they got two offensive rebounds and then did a three.
Right. And Damian is like on the verge of being the career leader for 3-point shots for
the team.
He
just broke his own season record.
And they said he was only like 8 away from career already. So that's a little. This
guy shoots it up too much.
That's actually quite a bit of. That's the trend in the league, though, is to shoot from farther out and also to make it from farther out, too.
That's an important part of the trend, yeah.
That comes up with the. With I think Scottie Pippen was saying that, you know, great job, Warriors. We're loving you, but you would. If we went back in time or went forward in time, our team would beat you guys in a series.
I think
I would kick your butt.
No, he didn't say beat. He said they would sweep.
It would sweep, yeah.
It would be interesting to see what rules they play by. Because you think what the Bulls did with all the, like, you know, hand-checking and everything you get away with.
That's, and they keep
would that just make them better in today's world? You know, I don't know.
They always talk about how
but
more,
they definitely aren't a 3-point team like Warriors.
The older guys always talk about how much, you know, how easy it is to get fouled these days. Like, it was a much tougher game back then. They allowed a lot more. And I don't, is that how you remember it? Watching
actually,
it?
I remember it a lot better game. It seemed like there was more passing and more shot making. I don't know. Maybe I'm just wrong here, but I would constantly remember games like 121 to 114. And now it's like, well, we got to 100, thank God, you know.
Plays and it's funny that they scored more. You know, you had really high scoring games, even though they weren't shooting 3-point shots all the time.
It just seemed much more crisp. Like if you go back and watch those, you know, ESPN classics from the 80s or 90s, early 90s, and you just see it. There's a lot of passing, and then you watch the Warriors. And I guess kind of what they're doing, but they're also nailing every three from 40 feet out.
Boy, there's a whole lot of, I'm hot, I'm just going to go shoot it up from, you know, 26 feet away and not pass the ball even
one
time.
Speaking of, Golden State's up by 15.
15 against
it's the Timberwolves.
Okay, there you go. Well, I suppose they'll be making a big deal out of it when they get to 73, probably at
the
end of this
week. So
they've
got 8 losses right now.
Yeah.
They could lose one more and break the record.
Still break the record. Or set the record.
Oh.
You call it breaking the record or setting the record?
I guess I'm calling it breaking the record.
Okay. I'm going to use a little bit more grand term, establishing the record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So, talking about records, Tiger Woods and Augusta is coming up this week.
He's not the favorite to win.
He's not the favorite to win. He would be establishing quite a comeback if he were able to somehow magically...
And wouldn't that be the best? He just walks out there and they're like, what?
That would be amazing on Sunday. If he were somehow able to get into, like, anywhere close to the final group on Sunday, they would go back to these enormous ratings. I mean, the whole nation would be holding its breath. Like, well, really? Tiger?
One, he's not playing. But
I know.
So I think this opening day, he just walks out there.
He just walks
out
there.
What?
That would be pretty entertaining. You're like, oh, wow. He would be, you know, just... like the natural or whatever.
It is like either the first group off or the last group off. Can you imagine that?
He comes out and he's like, yeah, I snuck in. Of course, you know, I got a green jacket so I can show up whenever I want to.
Hey, I got a freaking locker.
I got a locker.
Do what I want.
I hadn't realized it was 2008 is the last time he won a major. That's a long, long, long time.
When he broke his freaking leg off.
And he isn't constantly in the news anymore, but it's sort of like everyone's waiting for him to come back and get another one. And he's still young enough to where he ought to have, you know.
Well, that's the thing about golf. It's age-wise, he's young enough. I mean, Phil Mickelson won the Master, 2 years ago, like 42 or 43, and... So, could he win more? Yeah, age-wise. The problem is, parts of his body are a lot older than 40, you know?
Because he's played so much.
The back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to imagine if your back's not good, playing golf at a professional level, not going to be the easiest thing in the world for you to do.
Physically, and then your game just not going to be there, too. Either. Right. So, yeah. Well, they got the young guns going, Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Bubba Watson, the defending champion.
Is he that young?
He's
going to be 30-something, right?
30-something. They had him on 60 Minutes on Sunday, and I watched that. And apparently he's got all these phobias, like he doesn't like heights, he doesn't like people, being around people, so being in front of...
He doesn't seem like he likes being around people.
They showed off a poll too about other NBA or other PGA players, who they would be least, you know, who they would least like to go play in a group, and he came up as number one least like to play with.
He's kind of a pickly guy.
So that sort of makes you kind of want to root for him because I sort of like the underdog in a lot of cases, but I don't really have a favorite. Dustin Johnson is kind of the guy I'm like pulling for now because of what happened to him in the U.S. Open last year.
Which time?
Which time? Well, the one last year.
He literally chucked it away because he couldn't make a short putt.
The one
or
last
the one
year.
Before that, where he hit out of a bunker. Did he hit out of a bunker?
Oh, that's right. That he
whistling straight.
That he touched. That he
grounded his club.
And he said he grounded his club, even though you looked at the replay, going, "Really, dude? You're going to be that honest? Where you're like overly honest? Come on, man." But the thing that made me root for him is how Fox covered that tournament. They got him when he got out of his car, and they're following right up. Do you really need to do that? The Fox coverage sucked for that one, so. Like,
that's what you keep saying.
Give these guys a little bit of a break. Jeez. All right, so that's Augusta, the Green Jacket Sunday. Amen Corner.
So over under on Vegas for winner's age, 30 and a half.
30 and a half.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you're betting that, what do you go up over or under?
There's some really good guys under. Probably the favorites. But I think I might go over simply because I think there's more guys over. A lot of the past Masters champions are over. And Masters, for some reason, it always seems like it's somebody you're not quite prepared for.
Somebody you know who's like been chomping at the bit, been kind of swirling around in the pool there.
Like, so, you know, Bubba's won it twice. He's over 30.
Yeah.
When he won it, he beat Louis Oosthuizen. You know, he's over. It's those guys. You know, could it be Jason Day or Rory or Spieth? Absolutely, it could be.
Yeah.
But it very well could be Adam Scott again, who's over 30. You know, and it just. I think I would lean that direction.
All right. I'm probably going to go with the underage just because there's kind of so many of them there. And they're, you know, I'm not going to make that one yet. No. That I've not been, and this one I don't really, I'm not. The one that I got, and thanks for taking a few less points, but that one I was damn sure, and that one I won actual real money that I'm still waiting for. It's been 2 weeks.
Maybe by next March Madness.
I've calculated it out, 2 weeks. It's probably going to show up in May after having won it in March. Two months is like the 6 to 8 weeks to get your winnings from Vegas. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be just easier to gamble at?
Gamble it?
I think it's their thought process. Why wait 6 weeks or whatever it's going to be when you can just see if you can win more? You got the money right there.
I think, you know, I love it. And that's how they get you. They give you free money when you sign up. What have we got here? 110 to 102.
With second floor.
Yes, that's another win. Man, they're over 40 wins, and we thought we're...
This will be a 42. It's a guaranteed winning season.
And the idea was, I know your pick was 25.
28.
Jeez. And that 30 was probably going to be a good season. And they were kind of headed sort of towards that the first couple months.
They had like a 6-game losing streak. They were like 2-8 or something at one point.
And then they really kind of started putting together Damian Lillard. How... when you look back on past teams, who does he like? I mean, Terry Porter would be kind of a. I mean, they play the same position. I can see him being Porter-esque.
To an extent, I look at Porter more of a distributing point guard.
Yeah,
he could score, but I really look at Damian as a scoring point guard.
But I think as his role in the team is like a team leader, they're very close to that. Because I think the team played as Terry Porter played. I mean, when he was obviously, you know, having a good run, he was kind of the key to all that, even though Clyde was the scorer.
The star, yeah.
The star. But I think the player that made that team such a success was Terry Porter, and that's really the case with Damian Lillard. I don't remember, was Porter ever an all-star?
Once or twice, yeah. I mean, Duckworth was an all-star. Porter would have.
Yeah.
Back when we should art Arvidas, but whatever.
Arvidas. I wonder where he is now. Remember, they were interviewing him because of his son, but I didn't see what he's actually doing. Brandon Roy.
I assume he lives in a castle in Lithuania.
Brandon Roy, it occurred to me to go look up where he at. I'm not really sure.
He's on the senior team with Rashid Wass or whatever.
That's why I looked him up. I'm like, what else is he, where has he been? It's been like 3 years since he was with the Timberwolves as a coach for a very short time. And then after that, it kind of disappeared until this senior, and they're going to, and I looked at the 16 teams where they're going to play, and one of them isn't Portland, of course. They don't have anything up in the Northwest.
I would be surprised that they ever actually play a game.
If they actually do it, that's what I thought too. Like, why are you? Who's gonna watch that? Unless they go out and they've got headsets on while they're playing. And I did see that there was it must have been recently, but it was a four doubles match. And they had Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras and Federer, and I forget who the other guy was, but there's four of them, and they all had headsets on while they were playing. So,
but yeah, that was pretty interesting. It was Agassi, Federer, Sampras, and Nadal.
Nadal, yeah. That's it.
That was pretty good. Pretty good lineup. Pretty good exhibition, I think you'd get to see there.
And that's a great idea, too. You get to hear what they're talking about and hear their trash talk or whatever.
And they did something similar when Matt Knight Arena opened up. You know, Phil got some Nike guys together. This obviously wasn't Nike guys because Agassi is not, you know, I don't think Sampras is.
Yeah.
But he had Nadal and Federer and Kornikova and somebody else.
Okay.
And they played mixed doubles and did some trick shots and had some. It was pretty fun.
All right. Well, let's see what else we got going on. The Steely Thunder, our AFL team, they actually played on Saturday.
Definition of playing is what?
Is
giving up how many?
They got up in front of a crowd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I didn't look to see if Colt Lierla played, but at some point he was supposed to be the star of the team. So 80-28, they took it in the old. in the steel steely crapper. But at least they got a team. The let's see, the other thing, the thing that the league doesn't have is the New Orleans Voodoo. They either took a season off or they folded, but apparently they left their voodoo priest behind because he comes out and says, you know what, the Pelicans are the NBA team there. The Pelicans are cursed. They'll never win at all. So because of their name, which when they announced the name Pelicans, it immediately hit me. That's got to be one of the worst names, mascots in pro sports. And that's probably where the voodoo guy came up with it. The voodoo priest came up with that because it is. He's got, you know, if they named themselves the New Orleans Voodoo, that would be even better.
Yeah.
So or
just paid the Jazz for the name.
Just paid the Jazz for them. You think the Jazz? But...
Steal the inbounds pass and dunk it. Mohart.
All right. Well, yeah, and I don't know that I'll be going to see any of the AFL games. Just, it's a great game, but not really for me. So
it's a great game.
So, and the last thing I guess we'll bring up here is on Sunday, I will be singing the national anthem at the roller derby event at Oaks Park. So
is this like a big all-day tournament thing? Or?
No, no, it's a regular. They're in the league, the Rose City Rollers.
The Rose City Rollers,
yeah. So apparently they have, you know, decent crowds, so they have good times.
Yeah, no, they're their thing here. Yeah,
they're a decent thing. So this will be the first time I go to watch that. They had put up a thing on Craigslist. We need singers to do the national anthem, and I was going to do one at like their second game of the season. But then they had other people like, well, we know these people; they got to go first. Can you do one of these days? And I went that one, and finally, well, we got somebody else for that day, and kind of pushed me all the way back to the end of the season. I think it might be their last home game too.
Hey, that's all right.
Anyway, it'll be there.
Yeah, look at that as a.
I'll get to see it.
A big deal.
Taking my wife and kids to that. We'll get to see some high quality action. Hopefully they've got air conditioning in there because it might be a little bit hot. Saw that Portland
do
might...
not complain about the heat.
I'm not complaining about the heat. The apparently the city might set its record for the next 3 days.
Yep.
For and not by a little, by like a couple, 2, 3, 4 degrees.
Yep.
Too. So, and then we can laugh at the East where they're, you know, in 30, 33 degrees, 34, snowed in, iced in, all kinds of. It's crazy. We got heat wave on the West Coast, freezing on the East Coast, and people are like, you know, saying, hey, this whole thing, global warming is made up, but that kind of shows you how the weather is, you know, dramatic, and I gotta believe that's part of the global warming thing.
It's the 3,000 mile difference.
Yeah, but we're all connected. We're all the same country, you know?
Right. We should have the same weather.
We should have the same weather, you know? We're
make America great again.
United,
have the same weather.
United States. United against the weather. So I think Trump ought to be able to do something about that. He'll get some gigantic weather machine.
Pretty sure it was promised, yeah.
And get
that's why we added the 48th and 40 or the 49th and 50th states. They had the same weather, right?
And,
Alaska and Hawaii.
And he's going to get Canada to pay for the weather machine because, you know, they got worse weather up there. They're sending their crappy weather down to us. So we need the all righty, I think that'll do it for our show. Probably the thing we'll be watching this week is Augusta. Hopefully it'll be a good finish and nobody running away with it. Usually, is that the tournament that somebody runs away most often?
And I think two of the last 3 years were extra holes.
Extra holes, okay.
Yeah, generally I don't think it's a runaway.
I think the runaway years were when Tiger was winning.
Well, when he lapped the field,
yeah. So you kind of got used to, man, somebody, well, no, it's not somebody, it's Tiger, and if he's not there, then usually it's a pretty good finish.
I would say,
I wonder, is he going to show up?
Tiger.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, even though he's not playing, he could show up.
He shows up to the champions dinner.
Got to get
the champions dinner.
Some free food. Show up.
He should show up because he should be living there, but... That's just my theory.
I love that. You know, he could be stretching out, getting his back stretched out, you know, on a weekly, daily basis. He can go out and play every, you know, once a week, a couple times a week. shake a lot of hands, get, you know, into the crowd again, get everybody, you know, people are pulling for him anyway, but really get, yeah, doggone it. All righty, well, hey, that's our show, episode 13. Thanks for listening. Again, it's Cliff Benning and Derek Weber down here at Core Sports in Southeast Portland. Thanks for listening. We'll come at you again next week.